Indeed. So now we're at the heart of this issue, actually. How much of a special case are we? You've got Ruth Dudley Edwards this morning articulating a view that is present. And you heard it through Nigel Mills, the Tory MP, this morning as well, that we need to stop holding out the begging bowl, that we're not that much of a special case, that the English taxpayer is not going to tolerate us getting more and more and more money, and that there's got to be a reality check. Jim and Armagh, what do you think? 08459 555 678. If you're picking up the phone, go on, Jim.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead.
I think the question has been answered here this morning as to the future of Northern Ireland. It's quite simple. You have the referendum. Do you want to stay in the UK? But you don't ask the question here. You ask the question across the water as well. If the English taxpayer wants us to be part of the UK, if he wants to keep his Union Jack intact, the same way as he wanted to do it up in Scotland, he gets out his chequebook and he starts and brings us up to the same standard of living as what they have in England. Lorry drivers here are working for about £8 an hour. Men doing the same job.
But they would argue, Jim, but listen to this. They would argue, Jim, that they're already paying, listen to this, £10 billion, billion, not million, an estimated £10 billion more every year than we raise in taxes in Northern Ireland each year. £10 billion, Jim, billion.
No, listen, hold on a second. You be in England as much as you're here. The English economy is booming. Half of the people around here are working in England. The other half went to Canada and Australia. Only for that, their welfare bill will be a hell of a lot more than it is. We're not sitting up waiting on money coming from them. We have had the ball on our own foot here, but we can't play when we don't have a field to play on. There's an industrial estate going into Birmingham there. I pass it there on a regular basis. There's a sign up outside it. 12,000 jobs apply now.
We have the lowest household.
We don't have that, Stephen. We don't have that.
I'll tell you what else we don't have, Jim. But listen to me. Hold on a second. I'll tell you what else we don't have.
Two or three new factories in England. One part of that there would have made a serious difference to half Northern Ireland. One part of it. Even if we're only putting on the tyres, we didn't get any of that. So, you know what I mean? You know what we are? We're sort of like a wee out farm. We're like a wee place away up in the Shetlands. That's where we are. We're far away from Dublin. They don't care. We're far away from London. We couldn't actually be any more remote. And yet now they expect us to pony up the same as what they do. Yet now we're supposed to be British. If we're British, get out the money and pay for it.
Right.
If you want your empire, it costs money.
Right.
If you want a big house, it costs more than a wee house.
Here is what you also don't have, Jim. We also don't have water charges. We also don't have prescription charges. Our tuition fees are £3 or £4 grand a year here compared to £9 grand across the water. We have the lowest household taxation in the UK and we're asking for more money.
No, we pay rates here, Stephen. The money water's already paid for. It's already paid for. You know what I mean? That's crap. Didn't you even talk about water charges? You see the money that they're talking about giving us here? They spent £1 billion on Camp Bastion in Afghanistan, and before they left, they blew it off the face of the earth. £1 billion for a camp. The money they're talking about here is peanuts. It's sweets. They spend it on things like nuclear arms or whatever else they're spending that money on over there. And we're talking about health service. You know what I mean? It's a joke.
If you were, Jim, hold on now. I can't have to shout you down to speak to you.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to make my point.
Well, you've made your point.
We're going to have to sit up here like a lapdog and beg for money. Beg for money. Have the referendum. Ask the question. If they want it, that's okay.
If you were an English taxpayer sitting in wherever it is, Manchester, wherever it is, and you were looking and you were saying, hold on a minute. I've got to pay prescription charges. Hold on a minute. If I'm sending my kid to university, my tuition fees are £9 grand. It's only £3 grand over there. Hold on a minute. I'm paying a lot more in water charges than they are over there. And now they want even more money. What would you say if you were an English taxpayer?
What I would say from my point of view here, if the tuition fees were what they were as they are in England, all the young people would be with Australia. There'd be nobody here. Only a crowd of old people. It's only that it's affordable. We're not on the same level of wages, Stephen. Lorry drivers in England earn twice as much as they earn here. Twice as much. £15 an hour. Men here get £8 an hour and walk down to Hartford.
Ruth?
That's the problem.
I'm just trying to imagine 100 English taxpayers listening to the last 40 minutes and saying, please may we have a referendum now because we're going to vote Northern Ireland leaves us. They're already.
Ruth,
set up
Ruth,
let her finish. Hold on. Let her finish.
You wouldn't long run off to Scotland with a chequebook.
The English got very annoyed with the Scots because the Scots were so anti-English, they were so Anglophobic, there was so much anger, there was so much divisiveness caused by that referendum. And they got really fed up. And honestly, I don't think that they're at all as enthusiastic about keeping Scotland as they were before. There has never been an
appetite. That's not what your Prime Minister on Gordon Brown said.
And
that's not what they said.
Because of people like Jim who can't listen to anybody else ever. You know, I do think, actually, it's time for Northern Ireland politicians, apart from being responsible and taking the decisions they're paid to take, I think some of them might actually say sorry and thank you to the English sometimes. The English are a pretty decent crowd, and they are fed up with being abused and taken advantage of.
My God. You didn't say that, Bruce, whenever Scotland was up with the referendum. Gordon Brown and David Cameron spent weeks up there campaigning to keep it part of the UK. Cameron landed up his chequebook and started waving it around, firing out cheques left, right and centre, threatening people's pensions. If it pulled out, pensions cost the taxpayer money.
Which it is clear Northern Ireland wants in theory but doesn't want in practice. And Northern Ireland is the only devolved government that is actually saying we're not capable of doing what we've agreed to do and what we're paid to do. And it truly is time they do. Because the patient,
they're not Jesus Christ. It's not the Lord. It's not the loaves and fishes. They can't make the balance pay, and that's it. You haven't got that level of taxation here because the people aren't working. There is no work for them.
Well, as long as people like you make it such a pleasant place to work in, it's hardly a surprise.
Pardon?
I said people like you are no advertisement for Northern Ireland. The sort of endless
I'm working since the day and I left school. I've never been on benefits. I'm working since, and I'll tell you about that, Ruth. I've been in a recession since the day and I left school. There's never been nothing, only a recession here. So don't pretend to us that we're well off. We're not well off. The figures don't add up. And if you sit up and look at them instead of sitting there criticising the people that's phoning in.
Well, why didn't you do what I did and emigrate?
Why should I emigrate? Why should I emigrate? Why should I leave the country of my birth? Why should I?
Yeah, because you're a man who knows his rights and has his entitlements, Jim, but you don't seem to think you have any responsibilities or duties to the country that pays for you, to the taxpayers who pay the taxes. We all have.
I told you, I've never had benefits. I'm working since the day and I left school. I'm not working now, Ruth.
But you are demanding.
You couldn't be working too hard.
A taxpayer that doesn't have any money left.
Stephen, hold on a second. You're the man who can get a pay raise. Whenever you go into your boss there and you say to him, I'm looking at a pay raise here, do you tell him, oh, everything's great, I'm very happy, I'll never leave you? No, you don't. You do what the Scottish people do.
I've been to the boss the last couple of years asking for a pay raise and I haven't got one.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what it is. You're going about it the wrong way. That's what's wrong with us here. We're not playing hardball. You have half the population running about here. We have a Union Jack saying we'd live and die for you. The other half saying we're looking away from you. The Scottish people don't have the right way. They said, here, we're just wondering whether the state is or not here. They weren't long getting what they wanted. English people are the people who champion.
One sentence without interrupting.
Yes, go on, Ruth.
One thing without interrupting. I have a strange love of Northern Ireland and the people of Northern Ireland. I am so unusual in this. And you have to get it into your head that if you continue to say you're a problem case and you can't sort out your problems, Ireland doesn't want you and the UK doesn't want you. Now, either you take responsibility and you do a decent job of making the place you love and live in a good place to live in, or you just continue being infantile, which is what you're all doing this morning.
There you are. You've answered a question that people have been fighting over here for 40 years. That is the question.
Peter, do you want to be
part of the UK? We're asking the wrong people. We want to be asking the taxpayer in England then. That's really what you're saying.
Peter Pumping, let me come back to you. Tell me what strike action is planned. Give me a sense here.
Well, we're hoping to have a coordinated one-day strike on the second week of March. And it's not, by the way, anything so infantile is what Ruth is saying. It's really because our analysis of the situation is very simple. You can't solve the economy in Northern Ireland by next year, for example, adapting that draft budget and making another 7,000 to 10,000 people unemployed. That's actually adding to your welfare bill, which we're all trying to stop. So austerity measures as been going on from 2010 is not conducive to building a normal, peaceful, stable economy.
I doubt, though. This is tokenistic, Peter Bunting, isn't it? A one-day strike is hardly going to rock the coalition, rock the British government to its core.
Come on, Stephen. I'm just suggesting to you that will be the first day of action. We will campaign across Northern Ireland because the people can't afford. We're down to the bare bone. I've outlined a great range of cuts, which will impact, by the way, on the public, such as child protection cuts, such as road safety cuts, such as bus services and train service cuts, such as health service cuts, and such as education cuts. We can't take any more. We're down to the bare bone, and we're appealing to our own politicians, resist implementing the draft budget for next year, which is only going to lead for a decline in services to the public, which I mentioned, and putting another 7,000 to 10,000 people on the dole. That's not the way to solve any economic problem. Austerity hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked across Europe, and we need...
You're still not telling me your alternative.
Hold on a second. My alternative is, in Northern Ireland, for example, we could do a site evaluation tax rather than have this, 400,000 threshold of domestic waste. And that's the only way we can raise money in Northern Ireland, by the way. We can't raise it in any other way. Unfortunately, what Ruth is talking about is we should do this and make these conscious decisions. The only decisions which have been forced on our politicians, and some of them, by the way, are very anxious to implement, is to make the poorer, to create more unemployment. Those are the only decisions which are coming out of Westminster, which finances ourselves, because there's no fiscal responsibility or powers in Northern Ireland, other than domestic rates.
And in fact, even Peter Robinson made it clear that you don't want to take responsibility, apart from corporation tax, for raising tax in Northern Ireland, because the politicians will be incapable of agreeing on what to do with it. You have politicians who are not doing their job. And one of the things that makes the English extremely angry is that, they know that unionists ran a sectarian state that wasn't very pleasant to live in. They then know that the IRA wrecked the place, and these are the very people who are lecturing them on their duty to Northern Ireland. Sorry.
There is no other place, Ruth Dudley Edwards, with the division that there was in Northern Ireland, the division that there still is in Northern Ireland, with the legacy issues that there still is in Northern Ireland, and that has got to be invested into. It has got to get help, does it not?
There is plenty of help, and there has been a wish all along to help with the legacy issues. But if you can't get agreement on what to do, there isn't going to be any help that can be given intelligently. There's always money being thrown at problems.
Kevin and Ballymena.
Wasted and wasted.
Kevin and Ballymena, Ruth wants to speak to you. Good morning, Kevin. Say good morning to Ruth.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Kevin.
Ruth, you are probably one of the most arrogant, ignorant people I've ever had the mispleasure to listen to. You are a jumpstart. You have nothing. You will never be nothing. And how dare you come onto this channel today and tell us what we should be doing in our country? This is our country, my friend. Oh, sorry, you're not a friend of mine. You're not a friend of any person from the north of Ireland who has British subjects or Irish subjects, Catholics or Protestants. My family fought the First World War, Second World War, and are in Afghanistan, so they are, to keep you in your bloody job. So how dare you? You apologise to the people of Northern Ireland today. You're arrogant. Upjump of a human being.
Well, why don't you hold on a minute, Kevin? Leave the personal insults aside and deal with the issue. She's basically saying we've got to stand on our own 2 feet, and less of the personal insults.
Well, never mind the personal insults. She is the one who's giving the insults to every human being on this island today.
Well, by saying that we've got to pay our own way, by saying that we've actually got to come up with a collective agreement within the political parties rather than them squabbling and fighting every day of the week to how we can pay our own way, by saying that we can't ask for just a blank cheque every time we're in trouble. Remember, Kevin, that the political parties in Northern Ireland weren't even able to get to a stage before Cameron came over where they could sit down collectively in front of Cameron and say, here's a figure that we have agreed upon that we realistically need for Northern Ireland. Remember what actually happened was Sinn Féin was talking about one figure and the DUP were at the other end of the spectrum saying what figure was actually needed. So there was no collective agreement. Cameron comes over and hears that. Now, what would you do? What did he do? He went home.
Well, I don't like the Tories to start with because I've lived with Maggie Thatcher. I've seen what Maggie Thatcher done to the miners in the country. So
the point is, there's a responsibility here, Kevin. There's a responsibility here in this country.
We have a responsibility to the people who vote in this island, the voters. They're the one who put Sinn Féin in, UDA, the DUP. These are the people who voted these in. This is what you get when you put Muppets in charge of a country who cannot run a country. Now, I have to agree with Sinn Féin on where Phil Rowe, because this is just an absolute joke. But who are we going to get better to run it? An ex-television presenter? I don't think so. We've got to get real. And somebody out there is sitting today, and it's time we had a party separate from the one that's trying to run this country, because they've made a horse's ass out of it.
Ruth?
And you know it and I know it.
Go on, Ruth.
Well, Kevin, you've just insulted all the voters who put DUP and Sinn Féin into power.
Yes, for the simple reason that people...
Let's let her finish. You've got to let her finish. Go ahead, Ruth.
You are actually fundamentally agreeing with me that politicians are not running Northern Ireland in a way that it should be run, and that the place actually needs to take control of itself. Whether there's a new political party, whatever happens, it is time that Northern Ireland stood up and said, we are responsible for our own place that we love, and we want to make it work, and we want to make it somewhere that entrepreneurship can flourish, that initiative can flourish, that private firms will be set up to mop up the jobs that go in the public sector, as happened in England, and a million new jobs were created.
you see that, Stephen? Stephen, can I just interject there, please?
Go ahead, Peter.
Stephen, can I just say to Ruth, you know, when she was condemning our politicians, there's lots of people in England, by the way, and Scotland and Wales, who would not think that the Tories are running Britain very well either, you know.
I know that.
So, you know...
What's that got to do with it?
What it has to do with it is that I'm saying to you that the political view on the economy is the difficulty we are all facing, whether in the north of England, the northwest of England, Scotland, Wales, or Northern Ireland. And the other thing, the analogy I would also use to you is there are times when certain areas have to be concentrated on for money, such as the Somerset Downs, where billions of pounds are going to be spent to stop flooding. And Northern Ireland, and I'm using this analogy, Northern Ireland has still not emerged from the conflict. It is still a lot of legacy issues. Now, I'm not talking the political legacies. I'm talking about the legacy issues on poverty, on low investment because of the 40 years strife, insecurity with the highest paid, sectarianism, education, and we have the highest rate of ill mental health difficulties in any region of the United Kingdom. Now, those are areas I'm pointing out to you that if it was, say, for example, to use the analogy a bit further, if we were all suffering from floods, we would have to have special measures taken for investment. And that's our difficulty. And for Ruth also, you're still having to address my issue. There is no fiscal responsibility in Northern Ireland other than raising rates, domestic rates. And you can only go to that well so often, but I've suggested ways around that. So the difficulty is, Ruth, that austerity hasn't worked in Britain, and it hasn't certainly worked in a rather very, very depressing economy in Northern Ireland for all the reasons
of our time. Let you respond to that, Ruth.
Austerity, unfortunately, has been the only option available to most countries in the EU. Everybody would like a happy solution which involves just saying to each according to his need, and everything will be wonderful. Can I just refer you very, very briefly to Venezuela, which Sinn Féin used to hold up as the great example? Hugo Chavez comes in and he says, must look after the poor, looks after the poor, spends the oil money on that, very good too, does nothing about long-term investment, does nothing about jobs, does nothing long-term. The place now has 60% inflation. The place is the most violent country in South America. The place is a basket case because there was no conception that you can only use the money you've got. You can't use the money you wished you'd got.